Unit 8. The Ups and Downs of Yo-Yos.
Today, when the word yo-yo is mentioned, most people think of the yo-yo fad of the 1950s and 1960s. But yo-yos are far older than that. No one knows for sure when or where yo-yos originated, but the best guess is China about 3,000 years ago. The first historical record of yo-yos is, however, from Greece, around 500 BC. There are yo-yos called discs by the Greeks, made of painted terracotta, clay, wood, and metal displayed at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York and at the National Museum of Greece in Athens. There are also Greek urns that depict young people doing yo-yo tricks. The next sighting of ancient yo-yos was among the Maya on Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula about AD 700. A yo-yo from this period is exhibited at the Anthropological Museum in Mérida, Mexico. Yo-yos next appeared in India around 1765. A miniature box from that year features an image of a girl in a red dress who is playing with a jeweled yo-yo. Within a few decades, the yo-yo appeared in Western Europe, where it was adopted by the aristocracy. A French painting done in 1791 by Madame Vigée Le Brun pictures the future King Louis XVII playing with a yo-yo. A print dated a year later depicts the future George IV of England yo-yoing. Yo-yos were fashionable symbols of wealth. Many were made of crystal, jade, or ivory, and were decorated with silver, gold, and precious stones. As the yo-yo moved through Europe, it became known by many names. During the time of the French Revolution and the Reign of Terror, nobles fled their native land, and when they left, they took their favorite toy, nicknamed l'émigrette, from a French word meaning leave one's homeland. The toy was also called a Koblenz, after the German city to which many of the French aristocrats fled. In Paris in the 1790s, the toy was called Joujou de Normandie, and one theory is that the name yo-yo comes from this term. The British called it the Bangalore, the Quiz, and the Incroyable. Incroyable, a French word meaning incredible, was a British nickname for a French dandy. The yo-yo of this time was not just a child's plaything. It was also used by adults to relieve tension. In the 1794 drama The Marriage of Figaro by the French playwright Beaumarchais, the character Figaro calmed his anxiety by playing with a yo-yo. When asked what his émigrette was good for, he explained, "It is a noble toy which dispels the fatigue of thinking." It is known that Napoleon and his officers relaxed with their yo-yos on the eve of the Battle of Waterloo in 1815. In the 1860s, the yo-yo appeared in the United States. Two Ohio men took out patents on an improved Bangalore. But by the early 20th century, the toy had lost its appeal in North America and Europe. The yo-yo showed up in the Pacific as well. About 500 years ago, hunters in the Philippines tied ropes to rocks to drop on wild animals from trees. If they missed them, they could haul the stones up with the rope and try again. At one time, it was widely believed that this hunting weapon was a primitive ancestor of the modern yo-yo. There is probably no connection between these two, but interestingly enough, another theory of the origin of the word yo-yo is that it comes from the Tagalog word meaning come back. Regardless of the origin of the term, by the early 20th century, yo-yoing was a national pastime in the Philippines. Unsurprisingly, it was from here that the modern yo-yo came. In the 1920s, a Filipino named Pedro Flores, who lived in the San Francisco area, opened a factory that made wooden yo-yos. These yo-yos were unique in that they were the first yo-yos in which the string was not tied to the axle. Because the string was looped over the axle, the yo-yo, when thrown down, would spin or sleep at the end of the string. This sleeping, also called sticking and hesitating, allows a yo-yoer to perform many tricks, from walk the dog and rock the baby to the extremely challenging brain twister and splitting the atom. In 1929, the production and sales of yo-yos began on a grand scale. In that year, businessman Donald F. Duncan Sr. was in Los Angeles and witnessed Flores demonstrating tricks before a large crowd. He immediately recognized the potential of the toy. He bought Flores's factory and the rights to the name. Mr. Duncan was a remarkable inventor and entrepreneur. He invented the Eskimo Pie and founded the Good Humor Ice Cream Company. He also invented the parking meter. Duncan marketed the yo-yo aggressively, hiring demonstrators, many from the Philippines. These yo-yo experts toured throughout North and South America and Europe, visiting candy stores, 5- and 10-cent stores, and school playgrounds. They would perform some amazing feats with yo-yos and hold yo-yo competitions among local kids. Duncan teamed up with newspaper tycoon William R. Hearst, who publicized Duncan's contests in his newspapers. Duncan's marketing strategies worked, and his toy, at first known as the Oh Boy Yo-Yo Top, was a hit. In 1 month in 1932, in Philadelphia alone, over 3 million yo-yos were sold, and this was in one of the darkest years of the Great Depression. In 1946, Duncan Yo-Yos moved to Luck, Wisconsin, soon to be known as the Yo-Yo Capital of the World. Over the next few decades, however, yo-yo sales seemed to go up and down as often as the toy itself did. Duncan faced competition from manufacturers such as Royal, Cheerio, Festival, and Flores. Pedro Flores had begun producing yo-yos again in 1952. These companies were forbidden to use the name yo-yo, which had been trademarked in 1930, and were forced to use names like Comeback, Whirligig, and Twirler. In the late 1950s and early 1960s, another yo-yo fad swept across North America and much of the world. Duncan released a series of popular new models that appealed to baby boomers, including the Satellite, Butterfly, Rainbow, and Imperial. Sales reached an all-time high in 1962. At the height of the craze, Duncan emptied its warehouses and yet was still unable to meet demand. Then, in 1965, Duncan Yo-Yos was sued by its competitors. They claimed that the word yo-yo was a generic name for this toy. The Supreme Court of New York agreed and ruled in the competitors' favor. No longer would Duncan be able to truthfully use the slogan, "If it isn't a Duncan, it isn't a yo-yo." Hurt by high legal costs, the costs of intensive television advertising, and the costs of paying workers overtime, Duncan declared bankruptcy. Soon after, yo-yo sales went into hibernation again. Still, this was not the end of the story. The Flambeau Plastics Company purchased the rights to the name and now produces Duncan Yo-Yos. Douglas F. Duncan Jr., son of the founder of Duncan Yo-Yos, opened his own yo-yo company, now known as Playmax. High technology improvements allowed yo-yos to sleep for longer periods of time, thus allowing more intricate tricks. Some high-tech yo-yos, such as the aluminum cold fusion model, sold for up to $150. In 1985, and again in 1993, the yo-yo even went into space, where it was used on the shuttle in experiments to see what effect zero gravity would have on the spinning toy. And in 1999, the A&E Network named the yo-yo, one of the oldest known toys, as the greatest toy of the 20th century.
Decide if the statements are true or false. Fill in the space of the circled T or F according to what you hear or remember from the reading. The ups and downs of yo-yos.
Today, when the word yo-yo is mentioned, most people think of the yo-yo fad of the 1950s and 1960s. But yo-yos are far older than that. No one knows for sure when or where yo-yos originated, but the best guess is China about 3,000 years ago. The first historical record of yo-yos is, however, from Greece, around 500 BC. There are yo-yos called discs by the Greeks, made of painted terracotta, clay, wood, and metal displayed at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York and at the National Museum of Greece in Athens. There are also Greek urns that depict young people doing yo-yo tricks. The next sighting of ancient yo-yos was among the Maya on Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula about AD 700. A yo-yo from this period is exhibited at the Anthropological Museum in Mérida, Mexico. Yo-yos next appeared in India around 1765. A miniature box from that year features an image of a girl in a red dress who is playing with a jeweled yo-yo. Within a few decades, the yo-yo appeared in Western Europe, where it was adopted by the aristocracy. A French painting done in 1791 by Madame Vigée Lebrun pictures the future King Louis XVII playing with a yo-yo. A print dated a year later depicts the future George IV of England yo-yoing. Yo-yos were fashionable symbols of wealth. Many were made of crystal, jade, or ivory, and were decorated with silver, gold, and precious stones. As the yo-yo moved through Europe, it became known by many names. During the time of the French Revolution and the Reign of Terror, nobles fled their native land, and when they left, they took their favorite toy, nicknamed l'émigrette, from a French word meaning leave one's homeland. The toy was also called a Koblenz, after the German city to which many of the French aristocrats fled. In Paris in the 1790s, the toy was called Joujou de Normandie, and one theory is that the name yo-yo comes from this term. The British called it the Bangalore, the Quiz, and the Incroyable. Incroyable, a French word meaning incredible, was a British nickname for a French dandy. The yo-yo of this time was not just a child's plaything. It was also used by adults to relieve tension. In the 1794 drama The Marriage of Figaro by the French playwright Beaumarchais, the character Figaro calmed his anxiety by playing with a yo-yo. When asked what his émigrette was good for, he explained, "It is a noble toy which dispels the fatigue of thinking." It is known that Napoleon and his officers relaxed with their yo-yos on the eve of the Battle of Waterloo in 1815. In the 1860s, the yo-yo appeared in the United States. Two Ohio men took out patents on an improved Bangalore. But by the early 20th century, the toy had lost its appeal in North America and Europe.
1. The first definite historical reference to yo-yos comes from China. 2. The future kings of both France and England were shown playing with yo-yos in 18th century pictures. 3. Besides being a child's toy, the yo-yo also has served as a way to relieve nervousness among adults.
4. The yo-yo showed up in the Pacific as well. About 500 years ago, hunters in the Philippines tied ropes to rocks to drop on wild animals from trees. If they missed them, they could haul the stones up with the rope and try again. At one time, it was widely believed that this hunting weapon was a primitive ancestor of the modern yo-yo. There is probably no connection between these two, but interestingly enough, another theory of the origin of the word yo-yo is that it comes from the Tagalog word meaning come back. Regardless of the origin of the term, by the early 20th century, yo-yoing was a national pastime in the Philippines. Unsurprisingly, it was from here that the modern yo-yo came. In the 1920s, a Filipino named Pedro Flores, who lived in the San Francisco area, opened a factory that made wooden yo-yos. These yo-yos were unique in that they were the first yo-yos in which the string was not tied to the axle. Because the string was looped over the axle, the yo-yo, when thrown down, would spin or sleep at the end of the string. This sleeping, also called sticking and hesitating, allows a yo-yoer to perform many tricks, from walk the dog and rock the baby to the extremely challenging brain twister and splitting the atom. In 1929, the production and sales of yo-yos began on a grand scale. In that year, businessman Donald F. Duncan Sr. was in Los Angeles and witnessed Flores demonstrating tricks before a large crowd. He immediately recognized the potential of the toy. He bought Flores's factory and the rights to the name. Mr. Duncan was a remarkable inventor and entrepreneur. He invented the Eskimo pie and founded the Good Humor Ice Cream Company. He also invented the parking meter. Duncan marketed the yo-yo aggressively, hiring demonstrators, many from the Philippines. These yo-yo experts toured throughout North and South America and Europe, visiting candy stores, 5- and 10-cent stores, and school playgrounds. They would perform some amazing feats with yo-yos and hold yo-yo competitions among local kids. Duncan teamed up with newspaper tycoon William R. Hearst, who publicized Duncan's contests in his newspapers. Duncan's marketing strategies worked, and his toy, at first known as the Oh Boy Yo-Yo Top, was a hit. In 1 month in 1932, in Philadelphia alone, over 3 million yo-yos were sold, and this was in one of the darkest years of the Great Depression. In 1946, Duncan Yo-Yos moved to Luck, Wisconsin, soon to be known as the yo-yo capital of the world.
4. The rock and rope weapon used by hunters in the Philippines was a direct ancestor of the modern yo-yo. Five. Douglas Duncan met Pedro Flores while on a trip to the Philippines. Six. The yo-yos made by Pedro Flores were unique because their strings were tied to the axle of the yo-yos.
Over the next few decades, however, yo-yo sales seemed to go up and down as often as the toy itself did. Duncan faced competition from manufacturers such as Royal, Cheerio, Festival, and Flores. Pedro Flores had begun producing yo-yos again in 1952. These companies were forbidden to use the name yo-yo, which had been trademarked in 1930, and were forced to use names like Comeback, Whirligig, and Twirler. In the late 1950s and early 1960s, another yo-yo fad swept across North America and much of the world. Duncan released a series of popular new models that appealed to baby boomers, including the Satellite, Butterfly, Rainbow, and Imperial. Sales reached an all-time high in 1962. At the height of the craze, Duncan emptied its warehouses and yet was still unable to meet demand. Then, in 1965, Duncan Yo-Yos was sued by its competitors. They claimed that the word yo-yo was a generic name for this toy. The Supreme Court of New York agreed and ruled in the competitors' favor. No longer would Duncan be able to truthfully use the slogan, "If it isn't a Duncan, it isn't a yo-yo." Hurt by high legal costs, the costs of intensive television advertising, and the costs of paying workers overtime, Duncan declared bankruptcy. Soon after, yo-yo sales went into hibernation again. Still, this was not the end of the story. The Flambeau Plastics Company purchased the rights to the name and now produces Duncan Yo-Yos. Douglas F. Duncan Jr., son of the founder of Duncan Yo-Yos, opened his own yo-yo company, now known as Playmax. High technology improvements allowed yo-yos to sleep for longer periods of time, thus allowing more intricate tricks. Some high-tech yo-yos, such as the aluminum cold fusion model, sold for up to $150. In 1985, and again in 1993, the yo-yo even went into space, where it was used on the shuttle in experiments to see what effect zero gravity would have on the spinning toy. And in 1999, the A&E Network named the yo-yo, one of the oldest known toys, as the greatest toy of the 20th century.
7. The New York Supreme Court ruled in favor of Duncan Yo-Yos and against its competitors. 8. Today, Dunkin' Yo-Yos are manufactured by the Flambeau Plastics Company.